I want to share tonight from Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 5 to 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. And notice what Paul says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." I'm sure you recall the story of the Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And before Mr. Scrooge had a change of heart by the visits of the Christmas angels, he was the most inconsiderate employer a person could possibly be. He required Bob Cratchit to work without a break, to work holidays, and to support his family on a meager wage. And if you're still working, you may feel like that you're working for a Scrooge. Well, if you will follow the teaching of my text, your attitude toward work could be transformed, even if your job is difficult, and even if you work for a Mr. Scrooge. Also, if there are any bosses listening to me who are like Scrooge to any degree, my text could transform you into a better employer. Now, in chapter 5, Paul deals with the subject of the Christian home. And now he turns to another major aspect of everyday life, and that is work. And there is a connection. You know, in the Apostles' day, the slaves or the servants were oftentimes workers in the home, part of the family in one sense of the word. And so in verses 5 to 8, we see that slaves or servants are addressed for several reasons. One is that slavery was very common in the Roman world. I've been told that at least one-third of the population of the Roman Empire was composed of those who were slaves. And about half of the people you would see on the streets in major Roman cities were slaves. And slavery, with all its intended evils, was universally accepted in ancient times. And secondly, it's likely that many, if not even half, of the Christians that Paul was writing to were slaves. And so this teaching was very relevant to many of them. Thankfully, through the influence of Christianity, slavery diminished in the Roman Empire. In fact, by the 4th century, when the Roman Empire embraced Christianity, slavery was much less common. And today, it's been all but eradicated except for certain parts of the world. And I believe that our text of Scripture applies, and we should apply it, to Christian employers and employees, and even to working for someone in a volunteer capacity, whether you're working for your spouse and family, whether you're working for the Lord at church. I believe there are principles here that are going to apply to us. After all, Paul talks about performing a service to others, whether slave or free. And since work is such a major part of our life, I think this topic is very important. Some people work more than they sleep. It's a major part of our lives. And if you find work a drudgery, if you have a bad attitude about going to work, then I hope that today's message will transform your attitude. And I think you'll see why as we get into it. But I want to say up front that what Paul says here to slaves and employees is directed to Christians. What he says here is not easy to do, but the Lord can enable us to work joyfully with a good attitude, even if our working conditions are not good. The Bible says that God will enable us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And also notice in the context, Paul is talking about the Spirit-filled life. And so as we're filled with the Spirit, I believe we can fulfill the spirit of what Paul is saying here in this text of Scripture. And so I want to share with you, first of all, tonight, the responsibilities of a Christian worker. Whether you're on the job as an employee or whether you're volunteering for someone, notice the principles that we see here. The first is very important. See yourself as serving Christ and not man. In verses 5 to 7, if you see it, you have your Bible open, three times he talks about serving as unto Christ, as bondservants of Christ, as to the Lord. And so when you go to work, you need to look at it that you're there serving Christ. You're there first and foremost working for Christ and not just your employer. So the question is, who do you work for? Do you work for some company? Do you work for a business, a factory, or some other institution? Or do you see yourself as going to work first and foremost to work for Jesus? If you have that attitude, it can transform your work. And so whether you're digging ditches, it is to be as unto the Lord. If you're doing some other kind of work, it is to be as unto the Lord. That kind of attitude can lift the most menial task and make your work much more joyful. It can change your attitude about your job. But not only should you see yourself as serving Christ and not man, but you should also seek to do a good job. I believe Christians ought to be the best employees of anybody. Now, your service on the job ought to be a testimony of your Christian faith to your employer as well as your fellow employees. And I hope that you see your responsibility to be a good witness on the job. And Paul tells us five guidelines about doing a good job when you're at work. One is that you should do your job obediently. In verse 5, Paul says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh." Now, I'm not speaking to slaves, so we apply this to employees. I believe employees should be obedient, to be submissive to the assignments that your boss gives you, to following the rules that are part of your company rules. And so we should be obedient. And you know, in this same context, chapter 5, verse 21, Paul says the Spirit-filled person will be submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, there could be exceptions, of course. If your boss tells you to do something illegal, something that would be against your conscience serving Christ, then you have to obey God rather than man. But you are generally, of course, as your conscience allows, to be obedient to your employer. And then secondly, you should do your job conscientiously. Notice in verse 5 that you are to be obedient on the job with fear and trembling. Paul uses that phrase about five times in the New Testament. And it has to do with, I believe, serving conscientiously. Just as we serve the Lord with fear and trembling, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:3, even so, we are to serve our employers conscientiously, considering that how we serve and how we work is part of our Christian commitment. And so to please the Lord, we want to do a good job. We want to work conscientiously. And that you're also mindful that you're accountable both to Christ and to your employer. But you should also do your job with integrity. In verse 5, he talks about being obedient and serving in sincerity of heart. In sincerity of heart. And that word translated sincerity means with an undivided mind, with integrity, with uprightness, with sincerity and honesty, without duplicity. In other words, you don't act one way with the boss and then speak ill of him behind their back where you're kind of two-faced. We ought to serve with sincerity, without hypocrisy. And he gives an example of this in the next verse, verse 6, where Paul says that we are to do our jobs not with eye service as men pleasers. Eye service graphically depicts a person who works, maybe works hard only when the boss or the foreman is looking. But when the boss isn't around, then they're not working, or they're working half-heartedly, slowing down their pace of work when they know that no one is watching them. Now, that is being two-faced, isn't it? You're not working sincerely when you act one way when the boss is looking and act another way when the boss is not looking. But I tell you, I've got some news for you. Even when your boss isn't looking, Jesus is looking. And again, you're to be serving as unto the Lord. He's looking all the time. And the last of verse 6, Paul says we are to serve as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so when we serve well, when we do a good job, we're doing the will of God and we're pleasing Him. And we should be mindful of that. And so we should give good, honest service to our employer, whether they're looking or not. And then also we are to do our jobs enthusiastically. Paul said in verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That word good will literally means with a good mind. And it can also mean with zeal and enthusiasm, with a favorable attitude, being well disposed, like serving someone that we love and care about. And in Colossians 3:23, Paul says in a parallel passage, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. So wholehearted effort should characterize the Christian as we work. And you know, when you're serving the Lord in church ministry, Romans 12:11 says that we are not to be lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I remember hearing this teaching when I was probably 17 years old. And it transformed my work, understanding that I'm actually serving the Lord, that I'm doing the will of God by doing a good job, being conscientious on the job. My grades at school began to improve significantly. When I started working a couple of summers at a paper mill, I worked hard. I was diligent. I was even told at times to slow down and not work so hard. And in my entire ministry, I don't have a deacon or anybody looking over my shoulder making sure I'm working, because I don't need that. I'm serving the Lord. I am understanding that the Lord is watching me, and He will hold me accountable. And so we need to serve as unto the Lord. We are to serve enthusiastically. And you know, we can argue from the lesser to the greater, or the greater to the lesser, depending on how you look at it. If a slave was to work enthusiastically, conscientiously, without duplicity and sincerely, then how much more should a paid employee work for their employer? And so, do you work obediently, conscientiously, honestly, and enthusiastically? Paul says that is how we ought to work. We ought to do the will of God from the heart, literally from the soul. And God expects us to render good service. And so we've talked about the responsibilities of the employee, but I think we can apply this text also to the responsibilities of employers. He talks to masters in this passage of Scripture, and there were probably at least a few Christian masters in the church, and Paul has some important words to say to them. And again, we apply this to Christian employers as we relate to our employees. And so if there's any Christian business owners listening to me, or bosses, I have a staff at church, and of course, this applies to me as well, as I lead and manage my staff. And it would be really unfortunate if an employee said, you know, my boss is supposed to be a Christian, but by the way they treat me, I sure can't tell it. That should not be. And so, first of all, you ought to work on behalf of your employees. Look at verse 9. Paul says, and you masters do the same things to them. In other words, how you expect your employees to treat you, you should treat them. You ought to be fair in your dealings with them. You ought to be just. You ought to be sincere. You ought not to be guilty of duplicity and acting one way with your employees, but thinking a different way and acting a different way when you're not around them. You should show them goodwill, as Paul says. And so if you expect your employees to work hard, you ought to set an example and work hard. There ought to be times when you come alongside them and help them, show them how the job is to be done, really work at developing them as a worker. You ought to have the same attitudes toward them as you expect them to have toward you. So what are some things you can do as an employer? Well, of course, you can pay your employees on time, as Deuteronomy 24 says. You can give them pay raises, at least equal to inflation, if at all possible. If they're helping your company to prosper, then they should enjoy the fruit of their labor and prosper with the company. Be considerate of working conditions. And these are just some of the things that you can do to be a good employer. We also see you should not rely on negative motivation. Paul says in the middle of verse 9, giving up threatening. In other words, let your approach be positive and not negative. Threatening has the definite article, and so it refers to a well-known practice that slave owners would use threatenings to keep their slaves in line. And yet Paul says, don't do that. Don't be abusive. Don't threaten them with being abusive. Treat them as you ought to treat them, as a Christian would treat them, as the Lord would have you to treat them. Be positive in reinforcing the kind of work behaviors that you want them to have. And so what kind of language do you use toward those who work for you? Do you talk down to them? Do you yell at them? Do you treat them with disrespect? Are you harsh or abusive in the way you speak to them? Do you even threaten them? Just like Paul says, you're not to do. Some folks may threaten to fire their employees, but they have no intention of doing that. They're just using that as a technique, trying to get them to work harder. No, Paul says we should not engage in that kind of behavior as employers. So use positive motivation. Now look for opportunities to commend them. Help them to find satisfaction and significance in their work. Tell them how valuable they are. But a third thing you can do is to keep in mind your own accountability to the Lord. Paul says in the last of verse 9, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. You know, threatening a slave was easy to do in the Roman world because slaves were powerless. Basically, a master could do anything they wanted to with their slaves. They were considered property. But that certainly should not be the kind of attitude that we have. They were unaccountable to the Roman government, but Paul says that the Christian master is accountable, and he's accountable to Christ. Would Christ, who was so kind and so loving, would he treat an employee with harshness, with threatenings? I don't think so. And nor should we. Always remember that you are accountable to Christ for how you treat people, including your employees. And then don't think that you're any better before God because you're the employer and they're the employee, even the most lowly employee that you have. In the last of verse 9, Paul says, and there is no partiality to him or with him. At least five times we are told there's no partiality with God. Essentially, Paul points out that both servant and master stand at the same level before Christ. There's no big shots or little shots with God. All are on an equal basis. In God's eyes, the man who drives the old car is the same as the one who drives a brand new Mercedes. It really doesn't matter. We're all the same. And when it comes to standing before the judgment seat of Christ, he will show no favoritism whatsoever, not in the least. And so there's no place for pride, pridefully looking down upon your employees, mistreating them. Paul says there's no partiality with God, and there should not be with you as well. Well, whether you are an employee, whether you are an employer, whether you're doing volunteer work for your family or for your church, I want you to know that if you do it as unto the Lord, if you are diligent, if you work well, then you will be rewarded. Paul talks here also about the reward for service. In verse 8, Paul says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, no matter who you are. And the word knowing has causal force. Because you know can be translated. And so even if earthly masters take no note to commend their servants, to reward their servants, Paul says Christ sees how you're working. Christ sees whether you're serving with a good attitude. And if you do a good job and if you have a good attitude, especially, then the Lord is going to reward you. God keeps an accurate record of all faithful service and not just Christian service, that no act of service goes unrewarded with God. If you're an earthly, if your earthly employer does not adequately reward you for your work, then God promises that He will reward you. And that gives kind of a new angle on the judgment seat of Christ. You know, I lots of times talk about that you'll be rewarded for your Christian service, and yet we see in this text of Scripture that even working on the job, if it's done as to the Lord, if it's done faithfully, if it's done conscientiously, then God is going to reward you for a job well done. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's very broad. And so, all that you do, potentially, will bring you reward at the judgment seat of Christ. So even if the one you work for seems ungrateful, seems even harsh, doesn't reward you like you think you ought to be rewarded, you can still go on the job with a good attitude, understanding that you are serving as to the Lord. He is watching you. He will reward you. And the day will come when he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, what happens when you feel like you're not being rewarded well enough by your employer? You know, a lot of people just halfway do their job if they feel like they're not being rewarded, not being appreciated, not being recognized. But here we see in this text that the Lord will reward us even if others do not. And believing that truth can transform how you do your job. Whether you're working in the kitchen or mowing the grass, or working on the job, or serving as an usher, whatever you do, if you're doing it as unto the Lord, if you're doing it conscientiously, enthusiastically, the Lord will indeed reward you. And that can make all the difference in the world. Well, thank you for joining us tonight for this Bible study.